Do you turn together with me to the book of Ruth? Let's take a moment to pray once again. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful privilege that we have to gather in your name. Thank you for this wonderful book you have preserved for us and written for us through your servants. Now we ask that you would teach us by your Spirit. In Yeshua's name, amen. The last time I was with you in speaking from the book of Ruth, we looked at chapter 1, and we saw the sad circumstances that Naomi had come into as she lost her husband and her sons, and considered that God is God, and at the same time, she was experiencing very bitter circumstances. And we saw the reality, the blessing of being able to share this with God, that we can still trust Him in the midst of bitter circumstances and not allow the bitterness to touch our souls as we experience His grace to us. And then we see that as her family had been in Moab to escape a famine, that she heard that the Lord had visited his people in Bethlehem, and so she was determined to return. And her two daughters-in-law, she urged to stay behind, but her daughter-in-law Ruth said she would come with her and that the Lord would be her God. And so we see that Naomi has come back to Bethlehem. In verse 19 of chapter 1, let me read that for us. Now the two of them, that is Ruth and Naomi, went until they came to Bethlehem, and it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. So we see that Ruth and Naomi came back to Bethlehem. And Naomi says, "Don't call me pleasant anymore, call me bitter, because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me." She went out full. "I went out full," she says, "but I have come back empty." And it is interesting to me as I look at this text that it is so often true that when you and I come through very bitter circumstances, that we are maybe momentarily blind to the fullness that God has given us. Naomi says that she has come back empty, but the reality is she has come back with Ruth, a wonderful daughter-in-law who has a profound loyalty to her. And also they have come back to Bethlehem, which is the house of bread. And further, they have come back and God has blessed his people again with harvest. So they have come back at harvest time. And so rather than being empty, the reality is that because of her relationship with the Lord, Naomi is in store for some delights and treats and experiences of fullness that she is not yet fully aware of. And as we come to chapter 2, the riches that Naomi really has are even further elaborated on as the author of this book gives us a foreshadowing of what is to come. And there's the statement in chapter 2, verse 1, "There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz." So there is amazing wealth, amazing fullness and blessing that God has for us, his people, even in those moments when we feel like we are empty, and even though we feel like life has turned against us. And so Naomi and Ruth are back in Bethlehem. In verse 2, we read of chapter 2, "So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, 'Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor.' And she said to her, 'Go, my daughter.' And then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers." Sometimes when we face the difficult and hard situations of life, we are confused. And it seems like life is so complicated and so complex, we don't quite know where to latch onto, where to grab onto, what to do next. And I think Scripture is so simply profound. In this verse, we read that Ruth said, "Let me go get food. Let me go provide for us." And Naomi says, "Go, my daughter." And so in the hard times of life, sometimes the next thing to do is the thing we ought to do. It's a simple thing. Sometimes the next thing we need to do is eat a meal, or take a nap, or go for a walk, or simply read. Sometimes the next thing to do is just the simplest of things. And in this situation, the simplest of things was food. What will we eat? And somehow Ruth was aware of the custom, of the tradition of the law, that when a person harvested their field, they weren't to harvest to the edges. They were to leave that for the poor. And they were also to not go back and pick up anything that had been left behind, but they were to leave that for the poor. And somehow Ruth had come to understand this, and so she asked to go and glean in the field. And then she went and gleaned in the field. And in verse 3, there's an interesting statement in the middle. It says, "And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech." Scripture does not teach us that there is any such thing as chance or luck. Rather, she happened to come to this part of the field is one of those little statements, pictures of the hand of God guiding circumstances and guiding life. It is what is being called the providence of God. Behind the scenes, people are living their ordinary everyday lives, and behind the scenes, God is at work accomplishing his purposes, bringing forth his glorious plan and working for our blessing, for his glory, in the midst of our everyday, ordinary circumstances. Ruth had no idea, and Naomi had no idea, that in this simple gesture of going to get food, that Ruth was entering into something that God was doing in a most marvelous and glorious way. Boaz apparently owned a part of the field. It seems like there was a large field and it was sectioned off. And Ruth found herself in that part of the field that belonged to Boaz. And it says in verse 4, "Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered him, 'The Lord bless you.'" It is wonderful to begin to see the character of this man Boaz, to see that God has been at work in his life. And it's all the more marvelous because the book of Ruth, as we looked at last time, takes place during the time of the judges, in a spiritually dark time in the history of God's people. And yet, even in the darkest of times, even in the darkest of days in world history, God extends his hand of grace and mercy, and he reaches into people's lives and draws them to himself, and he begins to work in their lives and begins as they trust Him, begins to work His good character into their life. We don't know the background of Boaz. Even the meaning of his name is uncertain, but it could possibly mean strength. And here is a man, we've already seen from verse 1 of chapter 2 that he's a wealthy man. He's also referred to as a man of valor. He's a man of integrity. And here we see that he is also a godly man. And the depth of a person's godliness is often revealed in how far it penetrates into their daily life. You and I don't necessarily see each other during the week. Sometimes we do. But the depth of our relationship with God is revealed by what we do from Sunday to Friday, not just what we do here together on Saturday. You see, a relationship with God is meant to infiltrate every part of life. How does that look in your life? What did it look like in Boaz's life was that God was a part of his business. He came with the greeting of the Lord to his employees, if you will, his servants, those working in his field. And his servants had been so impacted by this, their response, they answered to him, "The Lord bless you." And so there was a recognition and a realization that Boaz's relationship with God not only affected just perhaps his worship once a week, but it infected his day-by-day living. It affected his relationship with those that worked in his field. And then we see also that Boaz was a caring and insightful man. In verse 5 it says, "Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, 'Whose young woman is this?' He paid attention to who is working for him. And he saw something unusual. He saw someone that he hadn't seen before. And in verse 6, "So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, 'It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab.' And she said, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house." And so he learns something about this young woman. And then he speaks to her in verse 8. "Then Boaz said to Ruth, 'You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn.'" Boaz demonstrates incredible kindness and sensitivity as he approaches this young woman. Here she is, a widow. Here she is, a foreigner. Here she is, a stranger in a strange land. Here she is, working for her mother-in-law. And who is she that this wealthy person should take note of her? But Boaz, the kind and tender man that he is, approaches her and says, "You will listen to me." He calls her my daughter, a tender and gentle expression. And he says, "Don't go into any other field. Stay here and glean here," basically giving her job security. And he says, "Stay close by my young women. Stay with my servants. And let your eyes be on this field and where they reap, and go after them." So wherever they go, you have freedom to go, wherever the reapers go. "Have I not commanded the young men to touch you?" He provided for her protection. She would be safe, a stranger in a strange land, and yet she has come to a man of integrity who will guarantee her safety and her protection. "And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." That was an amazing gift. This was no simple feat to gather water for the workers. And can you imagine what this saved Ruth, how much time and energy and how much protection this provided for her, that water was provided, that she didn't have to go find the place of water and get it and come back. But whenever she was thirsty, she could simply drink from what was provided by this generous man. So we see the glorious provision of God here in Boaz, that he is a relative, but he is not just any relative. He is a man in whom God has been at work, who has been impacted by the grace of God. And his life is revealing it in his everyday decisions and choices. And he is demonstrating that God has worked into him kindness and sensitivity and integrity and a concern for those who are poor and who are strangers in the land. And then we see in verse 10, this impact on Ruth. She says, "So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?'" This begins to reveal to us even more of the wonderful character of Ruth, the way the grace of God has been at work in her life. She has come to vow her loyalty to Naomi. And in vowing her loyalty to Naomi, she has declared that Yahweh is her God. She has acknowledged the God of Israel as her God. She has come to trust in this God. And as she has come, she has experienced the grace of God through Boaz, and yet she continues to be humble. She does not consider herself as a poor person, as a foreigner, to be entitled to reap, to glean. But rather she says, "Why have I found favor in your eyes?" Beautiful picture of her humility. That she is thankful and considers it even a glorious gift that she may glean in this field. "That you should take notice of me when I am a foreigner." Repeatedly in this chapter, she is referred to as Ruth the Moabitess. And here she refers to herself as a foreigner. She is keenly aware of her position, that she was not a natural born person of Israel, but she has experienced the grace of the God of Israel and has come into a relationship with him, and she is overwhelmed with that grace. This is a glorious reminder to us that when you and I have tasted the grace of God, it does not make us entitled. It makes us even more humble and more grace-filled. The scripture talks about the fact that God has reached through eternity and has foreknown us. In the letter to the Ephesians, Shaul has written about the fact that before the foundations of the world, before creation, that God chose us in Yeshua. And the impact of knowing that God has reached through time and eternity to reach out to us and draw us into relationship with Yeshua is not for us to become proud and arrogant, but for us to fall on our faces and say, "Lord, how is it that I have found favor in your eyes? Lord, I am a foreigner, a stranger to your covenants of promise. How is it that you have reached out to me?" And the answer, of course, is always that it is in the heart of God to reach out in love and draw us by grace, not based on who we are, but based on the character of God, draw us into relationship with himself. Boaz responds in verse 11 to Ruth's humble question. Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before." Boaz has heard all of this. It has traveled through this small town. the word of the character of this woman, the word of the grace of God impacting in her life. She has left her family. She has left her country. And she has come to a strange land. It has been told how she has been kind and loving towards her mother-in-law. The grace of God at work in her life. Boaz has heard of it. And he marvels at it and he retells it. And in verse 12 he says, "The Lord repay your work." In other words, the Lord bless you. The Lord continue to take care of you because you have come to trust in Him. And He will put it in that way. "And a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Ruth has experienced the grace of God. She tasted the glory of God in her mother-in-law, Naomi, and in that family life. And she came to trust in God. And in trusting God, what she had done was as an eaglet had come under the wings of the mother eagle. As a hen, she had come as a chick under the covering and protection of the mother hen. Often in Scripture, God refers to Himself in a woman kind of way, in a feminine kind of way, as a mother hen. Yeshua said when He looked over Jerusalem, He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing." But that's the heart's desire of God, that you and I would come under His refuge and under His care, that we would come under His protection, that we would come to trust Him as our God, that we would come under His wings. It is a beautiful and tender picture of the trust, the love relationship that Ruth has entered into with the Lord. And Boaz has entered into that same relationship. That's how he recognizes it. He too has come under the God of Israel, under His wings for refuge. And that's why he is a man so full of kindness and tenderness and integrity. And that's why Ruth has left family and nation and come to this place, because she has tasted of the grace of God and has found refuge under His wings. It is a wonderful thing to experience the blessing of God. And it is a wonderful thing for those who have tasted the grace of God to extend that blessing to others. To speak words of blessing on one another is a profound and an important thing. Our world is so full of curses. You and I have come under our God for refuge, and under His wings we find a full reward, and we find repayment for our work. Shaul in the letter to the Hebrews says that God will not forget the good work that you and I do. He is keeping track of everything, in spite of the fact that people may not see. The simplest thing that we do in faith and in trust and relationship with Him, He will repay us. And isn't that the amazing thing about God? That you and I, unworthy as we are, foreigners, coming into relationship by grace, we trust Him. And out of love and out of trust, we begin to live out that relationship. And then God says, "I'm going to even repay you." Can you imagine that? How can it get any better? That God, who we do not deserve to know, when we come to a relationship with us, says, "I will reward you." Yeshua talked about it. He kept saying, set your hearts on things above, not on things in the earth. He said, set your hearts on things that can't be seen. Make for yourself a treasure in heaven. Isn't that amazing? That God would draw us into relationship with Himself, and by His grace, that as we follow Him, that He says, "I will store up the treasures that you are creating as you trust me and walk with me in faith, that I will store up those for you in heaven." You and I are amazingly blessed in a relationship with God under whose wings we have come to take refuge. Then in verse 13, Ruth responds to this wonderful blessing. And she says to Boaz, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." She explains the blessing. She has received comfort in the grief of her widowhood. She has received comfort in having left all that was familiar to come into that which was so different. And she has received kindness from the Lord through this man. To receive comfort and to receive kindness in our fallen world is a blessing beyond compare. And she gives thanks to this man of integrity, this man of grace. And her humility continues. She continues to say, "This is not my right. I did not earn or deserve this in any way. This is none other than a gracious gift." Favor means grace. "I have found grace in your sight, unmerited blessing in your sight." Then in verse 14, Boaz says to her at mealtime, "Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." And so she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. More than enough. Boaz's generosity overflows to her, and she has plenty to eat, eating with the other people. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." And so his generosity is continuing to overflow. Don't rebuke her if she gets into the grain that you've reaped. And in fact, drop some so that she has even more. Blessing upon blessing is coming her way through this man. And then in verse 17 it says, "So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, 'Where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? This is amazing. Blessed be the one who took notice of you, because it was an amazing amount of grain.' And so she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, 'The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz.' And then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead.' And Naomi said to her, 'This man is a relation of ours, one of the close relatives.' And Ruth the Moabitess said, 'He also said to me, you shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.' And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, 'It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field.'" She came home and shared this good news with Naomi. We see again Ruth's character. She was a woman of diligence, of industry. She worked until evening, from early in the morning till the evening. And then whatever she had got through gleaning, she beat it out. She made it so it was useful. She finished the task. And then she brought it all home. And in relating this all to her mother-in-law recognized that God was at work in a very profound and wonderful way. And she said, "Blessed be he of the Lord." Speaking a blessing on Boaz, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and to the dead." Blessed be he of the Lord. The Lord is the one who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. And he has demonstrated that he has not forsaken them by the way he has worked his grace into Boaz's life and turned his heart to help this family, to help this widow and this foreign woman who has come, Naomi and Ruth. And then it's a gift that Ruth can share this with Naomi and kind of debrief the day. It is a glorious blessing to have good spiritual friends with whom we can discuss the events of life and recognize and discern the hand of God together. Because sometimes alone we can't see. We can't fully see all that God has been doing. In this instance, it's a wonderful thing that Ruth could come home to Naomi, and Naomi, in her wisdom and walk with the Lord, was able to say, "This is none other than the hand of God at work. Stay in this field. This man is a relative. Stay in his field and don't go anywhere else." When the resurrection happened, when Yeshua came back from the dead, he walked along the road to Emmaus with two of his disciples who did not recognize him. And as they talked, he opened their eyes to see all that was said about him in the scriptures. And they got to their house and they invited him to come in because it was late. And he came in and they gave him something to eat. And he gave thanks and their eyes were opened and they knew it was Yeshua and he disappeared. What on earth was going on? What was their first thought? We have to go back to Jerusalem and meet with the family of God, meet with our other friends and tell them what's going on and see what's happened. And so at that late hour, they made that long journey back into town, several miles of walking, perhaps a couple of hours of time to go back into town, perhaps in the dark, because they were so desperate to share together what had happened, to compare notes, to share what God had been doing, and to help each other understand. And sure enough, once they got back there, they began to see that Yeshua had been appearing to others. And in those moments, he appeared once again. And they came to understand that, yes, all that he said was true. Yes, he really did come back from the dead. Yes, he really did conquer death. Yes, he really is alive. Ruth came back and shared all that she had experienced that day with Naomi. And Naomi helped her see the hand of God in her day. And then in verse 23 of this chapter, it says, "So Ruth stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law." What a fitting conclusion to this chapter. Ruth continues day by day. We know that barley harvest begins, that's Passover season. We know that wheat harvest goes to Shavuot, that's the Feast of Weeks. We know that there was at least a month and a half, 50 days period there. So it's almost 2 months. This little statement of verse 23 covers perhaps 2 months of time. Ruth goes to the field, gleans, comes home, goes to the field, gleans, comes home, provides enough and more than enough for her and her mother-in-law. Meanwhile, being in the field of Boaz, meanwhile, watching each other day by day, that's a foreshadowing of what is to come. So behind the scenes of this, at the very beginning of this chapter, it said that Ruth happened to come to a part of the field that belonged to Boaz. It was no chance encounter. It was no act of fate. This was none other than the hand of God guiding her steps. Behind the scenes, in the ordinary things of life, God is at work in your life and in my life. There are so many wonderful pictures in Scripture about this. I love to meditate on the life of Joseph. Joseph, jealous, experiencing the jealousy of his brothers, threatened with death and yet sold into slavery. And then serving well and being falsely accused and imprisoned. And over a period of some 13 years, he experiences these negative setbacks until one day, after being forgotten in prison, he is remembered and he is raised to the second highest place in the kingdom of Egypt. And at the end, towards the end of his days, when his father has just died and his brothers are concerned that Joseph will come and take revenge on them, Joseph says to them, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which he did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. And Joseph said to them, the grace of God at work in his life, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God, his hand at work all the time, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is to this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. The hand of God had been working behind the scenes throughout Joseph's life. And at every turn, even the turns that looked bitter and hard, God was at work, preparing and working that there would come the day when Joseph would be second in command. And because he was second in command in this country, he would be the one through whom God would rescue the world and the Jewish people of that day and provide. God has given to you and I who have trusted Yeshua that glorious promise that we know that all things work together for good for those who love God. That's us. And who are called according to his purpose. He is at work behind the scenes in all of the little and big aspects of life to accomplish his purposes. And it is so important for us to see the reality of the providence of God in our day, because as we see evil on the rise, we can be tempted to think that God has been removed from his throne, that somebody has put Yeshua back in the grave. But it isn't so. God is still on the throne. God is still working behind the scenes, accomplishing his good purposes. We see it again in the book of Esther. The name of God is not mentioned in that book. But time again, we see his hand guiding, bringing Esther to become a queen, giving her a key position where she would stand and advocate for the Jewish people. And it would be actually through her that God would rescue the Jewish people. So for us today, may you and I recognize that God is at work in our lives, that God is at work in the most ordinary of ways, and that God has made us recipients of his grace. And therefore, we have a glorious present, a glorious future, and the blessing of God will be upon us that he will repay our work and give us a full reward as we have come under the shadow of his wings for refuge. Let's pray together. In this moment, Father, we worship and praise you. We thank you that you are the good and powerful God of all the universe, that you are seated on the throne in this moment, that all of heaven in this moment is crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is full of his glory, who was and who is to come. As we had sung earlier, worthy are you, O Lord our God. You are worthy of our praise. And we thank you that we have been the recipients of your benevolent rule, that we have experienced your grace in the midst of moments in our life where we have experienced bitterness and have seemed to come to emptiness. We thank you that even in those moments, you are present and you are working to bring us to the spacious place, to the place of fullness. Thank you, Father, for bringing us under the shadow of your wing. And may there in that refuge, may we find your blessing and your help. And may we know that you have good planned for us and you will not forget the good that you have enabled us to do by your grace. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being our God. Thank you that we share in this relationship together. Thank you that we can bless and encourage each other as we share how we see you at work. May you continue to bless us as your congregation and help us to walk in the fullness of Yeshua at these, the end of days. And may we be faithful and true, experiencing your grace until we see Yeshua either face to face on his return or you take us home to be with you. Fill us, Lord, with yourself and help us to be filled with gratitude every moment for being at work in our lives and always accomplishing your good purposes. Thank you. In Yeshua's name, amen.